This is Aaron Palmer with 307 Net Radio, and joining me this morning is Brittany Camino, who is running for one of the positions on the Johnson County Rural Healthcare District Board. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I guess, the million-dollar question, what prompted you to run for this position now?
Sure. So I have a passion for healthcare and a desire to ensure that the residents of Johnson County are provided with ambulance services that deliver safe and competent and compassionate rural healthcare. I have been a nurse for the past 15 years, and I believe that now I can bring a breadth of professional healthcare knowledge to the board.
Do you feel that's important?
I do. I think that having a diverse group on the board is really important. I believe that we all can bring something different to the table, both professionally and personally. And so I think it is important to have someone who has healthcare background on the board. And I know in the past they do have the medical directors who bring that healthcare background, but the medical directors don't have a vote. And so as much as they can tell them their opinion, the board their opinion, and the board give the board their expertise, it's still up to the board to vote on something, and that the medical directors just have opinion to be considered, and they cannot be a voting member of the board. And so that is why I feel like I can bring that healthcare background as a voting member of the board.
Okay. Second question, you kind of answered, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Sure.
Your previous experience and qualifications, what do you feel that would do to benefit the board if you're elected to that position?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as I mentioned, I've been a nurse for the past 15 years, and I also hold two graduate degrees. So I hold a master's degree in nursing and a doctorate degree in nursing. And with those two graduate degrees, I have had to demonstrate competence in leadership. And I believe that and specifically leadership in healthcare. And so I believe that I can bring that leadership experience and that leadership knowledge from my education to the board specifically. And then not only can I be a leader on the board, but I can be a leader within healthcare on the board.
And again, you feel that's important because that's something that's probably been lacking on the board for
a while. Yeah, and there's so much more to the board. I think a lot gets talked about in terms of the business side of the board and the financial side of the board, and sometimes I feel like we forget that the patients are who is the reason why we have a board. We are serving the patients. They become patients when we have to go pick them up in the ambulance. And I think that it's important that we understand the way healthcare is revolutionizing and that we take a look at that and help that the healthcare side needs to be part of the things that's driving the decisions of the board, not just being fiscally responsible and the financial side. We have to have a good balance in between the two.
Do you feel, and this is kind of a follow-up, do you feel that this should be observed as or looked at as a service or a business or both?
I think it's both. I think that sometimes when the taxpayer money gets involved, we have to be fiscally responsible. But at the same time, we can't be so fiscally responsible that we cost a life of a resident of Johnson County. And that's part of the things that worries me a little bit is we're so focused on the business side and the finance side that we forget that we're serving patients and we're serving the residents of Johnson County.
Perfect. Okay. Would you describe yourself as conservative, moderate, or progressive, and can you provide some examples to explain your position?
I would consider myself having a conservative background with while upholding traditional values. I believe, as I mentioned, in being fiscally responsible, but I don't believe in being so fiscally responsible, as I mentioned, that it costs a life. And so I think there's that balance there. And although I have myself considered as a conservative background, I am open to new and innovative ideas. And I think that's really important within this board is being open to innovative ideas because healthcare is changing. And as we've seen with COVID, healthcare can change in a matter of a day. The things we did yesterday, Now they're coming out with new things that are saying we need to change the way we're delivering care, right, the next day. And sometimes it feels like it's that quick of a turnaround time. And so I really just think that we need to be innovative in our thinking. And so, yes, conservative background. I value tradition. I value my morals, values, principles, and ethics, and I use those to guide me with my everyday interaction, and I will use those to guide me if I get elected to the board.
Okay, fair enough. The board is currently developing plans for a new designated ambulance barn to be located out by Johnson County Fire. What is your opinion on that proposal?
So I think the first thing that needs to be discussed is the fact that the current Rural Health Care Board had a company called Safe Tech came in, and they did an evaluation of our the Buffalo and Casey ambulance services. Both services were found to be sustainable in the long term, meaning that many years from now, the current service will be able to provide the rural health care needs of our communities. So one of the things that also was noted is that the Buffalo EMS ambulance service was noted to be a model service. And so this simply means that other communities of our size should attempt to emulate what we have. And so it's somewhat troublesome to think that we have a service that is meeting the needs of the community and is sustainable in the long term, yet we're looking at spending more money for something that has not yet been proven effective. And so I think there's a lot of unanswered questions in terms of the new building, what's that going to look like. There's a lot of questions that I have about that, and I'm not sure that all those questions can be answered at this time. But I think we need to, instead of moving towards a new model that isn't found effective, we need to look at ways that we can support the growth and development of what we currently have that is meeting the needs of our communities.
Okay. What is your opinion on the value of paramedics for Casey and Buffalo ambulance services?
So I think we need to look at paramedics in a couple different ways for both communities. Casey is obviously in a little bit different of a situation because they are much further out, and most of their patients, no matter what, even if they pick up a patient in town, you still have a 40-minute drive to get to your closest healthcare facility. So the thing that is concerning about paramedic services is it's 2,000 hours to become a paramedic. And once you get your paramedic certification, there's much more to it. You have to have continuing education. You have to be able to practice your skills. And it was found that out of the 800 calls last year that Buffalo EMS went on, a small, minute percentage could have used paramedic services. What is concerning to me is that if we have a paramedic, how are they going to go on every call? What is that going to look like? Paramedic services are not reimbursed by Medicare and Medicaid if paramedic services are not rendered. So we're going to pay a paramedic a higher wage to go on a call, and if they don't render paramedic services, we're not getting reimbursed for that. So it's kind of a lose-lose situation in that sense. The other thing we need to look at is paramedics, one of the biggest things that they can do is insert an advanced airway. So most of the time when we insert an advanced airway, we have a patient who is possibly coding in the ambulance to where we're giving chest compressions and we want an advanced airway. Adult cardiovascular life support is a class that we take as ER nurses and ER doctors, and they are saying that if you have adequate ventilation with a bag valve mask, which is something that an EMT can do, don't waste time providing an advanced airway to the patient. And so while it could be helpful, by the time the patient gets to the hospital, we could do that then. And they're really saying that even in the hospital-wise, we're not inserting advanced airways like we used to. And so if that's kind of the only thing that we're looking at them doing, as well as obviously pushing some medications, I'm just not sure that the need is currently there right now based on just an evaluation of the last 800 calls that were done. Were paramedic services going to make a difference in the patient outcome, I think, is what we need to look at. And then also, the cost of a paramedic? And then are they going to want to come to a town where paramedic services don't, they might not get to use their skills that often? And so that's something that I think we need to consider as well, because most paramedics want to be somewhere where they can use their skills. And if they can't use their skills, then it's going to be tough to keep them where we need them here in Buffalo.
Okay, fair enough. And that leads into the next question is, the greatest challenge to EMS nationwide is the lack of people willing to become certified and to serve as EMTs. What do you have for ideas to encourage the people that we have to stay here and then to recruit new people to come in, because they obviously are going to need to be replaced periodically?
Sure. Unfortunately, I think that's sort of a million-dollar question that the answer to is tough. I think it can be answered, though, in two parts. I think one part we have sort of no control over as a board, in a sense, and the other part we do have control over. So the first thing that we don't have control over fully is being able to pay what we need to pay to keep them. Ambulance services in the state of Wyoming are not an essential entity. So unlike the fire department and the police and sheriff department, they get government funding for things. The state of Wyoming doesn't recognize EMS services as essential. And so we're not getting the government funding that those other entities are, because they are considered essential and ambulance services are not considered essential. Essentially, that's out of our control. We can't do a whole lot with that in terms of the funding that we receive. What is in our control, and I think is something that we can use to keep what we have and to recruit, is good leadership. We need to be able to support the EMTs that we and the EMS personnel that we currently have, and then we need to be able to show that support and show incoming EMTs a wonderful environment that they would get to work in, because it's kind of a thankless job that they do. And I think as a board, we need to be considered as the leaders, and we need to show recognition and support to those EMS personnel. And I think when we can do that, the money side will be a little less important to them, and as long as they're seeing that they are being recognized and commended for their efforts, I think they're more likely to stay with a lower wage. And then that could also, that word of mouth and, hey, this is a wonderful place to work, we're so supported, can be transferred to friends who are moving in who maybe want to take EMT classes and become an EMT. I think that is something that we can control, and that we need to be better at, in terms of being able to help keep what we have and then recruit more people to this profession.
Gotcha. Okay. Are there specific actions or proposals by the current healthcare board, healthcare district board, with which you either agree or disagree? And what do you think should be? Well, I'll have a follow up after that. We'll stop with that.
So, opportunities for growth within the current board. The first thing, as I mentioned, is more support for our EMTs and our EMS personnel overall. It's not just EMTs, it's drivers too. The drivers see the same thing that the EMTs do. They go to the house, they help pick up patients, they do everything with that. And so I think it's really important that we support our EMS personnel in terms of their mental health. Being a first responder takes a toll on you mentally and emotionally. And I've been a part of a lot of things that have come into the ER that I won't ever get out of my head. And I think that it's really important that we support who we have and the things that they do and the things that they see, because otherwise they're going to get burnt out. And when you get burnt out, what happens? You leave the profession. You leave and do something else because you're not supported. And so I think the first thing we have to do is support their mental health, whatever that looks like. Sometimes it could just be showing up at their place of employment and saying, here's a cup of coffee. I know you went on that bad call last night. We recognize this. We support you. Do you need anything from us? What can we do to help you? And I don't think that should solely rely on the administration of Buffalo EMS and the administration of KC EMS. I think it relies on us as a board, and we need to be supportive of them too. And I think that's really important. The second thing as an opportunity for growth that I see is involvement of stakeholders. The stakeholders that need to be involved in decisions that are being made by the Rural Healthcare District Board include the residents of Johnson County, Buffalo and KC, the current EMS personnel that we have, and then Johnson County Healthcare Center. Those three groups of people have to be involved in the decisions that we make Why? They're directly impacted by the decisions that we make. If the board decides to move to this new model of two EMTs and a paramedic, how does that affect when the hospital calls for an ambulance transfer? Do we now have to call for an ambulance transfer from Gillette? Do we have to call it from Sheridan? How long could it take the ambulance to get there? So it's going to affect the model of care that the hospital also provides. So I think it's really important that they're privy to all of this and that they're part of our decisions. And the EMS personnel, have they been asked if they're willing to spend 24 hours a day for a certain amount of time if we build a new ambulance barn and move to that model? What if they all say, that's not conducive to us? They have families. They have full-time careers. They're doing this on the side. How are we going to get people who want to do this if we don't ask who we already have as stakeholders if this is something they'd be willing to do? So I just really think there needs to be more involvement with those stakeholders because they're personal and professional expertise is going to be vital in ensuring that the rural healthcare needs of Johnson County are being met.
Okay. You may have already answered this, but what do you think should be the board's priority?
The patients. I think our priority is ensuring that the rural healthcare needs of our patients are being met and the residents. And I call them patients because that's what they are when they step into the ambulance. They're no longer just a resident of Johnson County. They're our patient, and we need to treat them with compassionate and competent care. And I think the biggest thing that we need to do is just make sure that we provide that care and we have something right now that is working. And we need to make sure that we support the growth of what we have to continue to meet the needs of our residents. And I think that's kind of our first priority that we do. And that we, instead of telling our current EMS personnel ways that they're possibly going to be replaced by building this new ambulance barn, and instead of saying, you know, hey, this is going to happen, not sure what's going to happen to your job, if you don't want to do the 24 hours a day, however long you need to do it, instead of talking like that, I think we need to be supporting them and thanking them and making them know that they are supported versus, in a sense, replaceable.
Okay. Those are the questions that I have. Do you have any other issues that you wish to talk about, or do you have any further comments?
I just think that as a board, if I get elected to the board, I would like to see us come together collaboratively and collectively to be strong leaders in rural healthcare for our Buffalo and KC communities.
That was Brittany Camino. She is one of the candidates for the Johnson County Rural Healthcare District Board. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.